This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And jumping right in, joining us today as part of our regular two Thursdays a month, we get the pleasure of having Jeff Reynolds, senior editor at Restoration-News.com, senior investigative researcher, Restoration News, former Oregonian, now in Florida. Jeff, how the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Very busy today, but doing a lot better than Oregon. Down here.
Oh my gosh.
State
okay.
Of Florida.
So we've been chatting all morning with, I sent you guys, it's like show prep in progress. It ended up being like three flipping pages because not just Oregon. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Minnesota and Minneapolis, but I want to start off right now because I did this so you guys didn't have to. I sat through the Salem City Council meeting last night. You're welcome.
I got angry messages during it. I mean, it was interesting how, you know, you owe me.
I said I had to have an adult beverage. I had some wine, but it got so bad that, and I don't drink hard liquor. I had a shot of Jack Daniels last night. It's this like, what is it? This blackberry or something the mustache would know. Mm-hmm. And I had a little sip of that. I'm like, this is so bad. I need this. So I sat through all of it. We're going to do a deep dive on this on Monday. We're going to have a former Salem City Councilor from Ward 3, Brad Nanke, is going to join us on Monday. He was there for 20 years. He knows things. Mm-hmm. So he's going to share things. But just my real quick take on what happened. First of all, they voted 6-2 in a special meeting last night to revoke the appointment of a guy who was convicted of murder from two advisory boards. It was the city's fire and the police departments. It was a 5-4 decision to reverse it. And I'm going to call out councilors Vang and Brown, who had some odd things to say. If you have the stomach for it, go watch the meeting. It was really, really quite odd. Councilor from Ward 7, Vanessa Nordyke, watching that foot go and I don't think she was very happy last night, but the 60, you can always tell too, watch the foot. So anyway, this Kyle Hedquist, they had appointed him to reappoint him on December 8th to the Police Review Board and the Citizens Advisory Traffic and the Civil Service Commission. Obviously, as we all know, it went now, I mean, I think internationally viral. Mm-hmm. There was a huge pushback on that. So this council reversed this very bad decision, except for the two of them. And you should note their names, Brown and Vang. They should be voted out. As far as I'm concerned, they have no business serving. And then I have to also call out Councillor from Ward 8, Mickey Varney, who made some little speech and took her marbles and stomped off the stage and went home. So I'd like to know how West Salem voters feel about not being represented by their councilor last night. And just so you know, she does have an opponent in the May election coming up. So keep that in mind. His name is Chris Cummings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just appalled at the behavior that you've described from these are supposed to be our elected leaders. These are the people that represent us. And one, didn't represent us in the initial vote on this. And two, kind of doubled down and refused to partake in correcting mistakes.
Yeah. And as far as Councillor Nordyke, I mean, to me, it was a political calculation. That's what it's max of. And I was, you know, you just watch body language and the things that people are saying. So it was pretty evident that a lot of this was political and they didn't like getting pushback. And this is what happens when people speak up. So good on everybody. And again, we talked about this yesterday. Don't be a jerk. There's been claims of, you know, threats and things like that. That's never, ever good. Don't do that, especially if you want to actually be listened to, because I'm telling you, I get that crap. It goes in the round file.
Yeah, and that was, you know, seeing like Salem Reporter and things like that, that was like their headline, you know, be prepared for extra security because of all the threats. And I'm kind of going, yet we're not hearing about it until now?
Yeah.
And just you ever notice how there are only there's only extra security and due to threats when something goes poorly for the council that they didn't anticipate?
Ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's where I was coming at, too, because when, especially at the school board meetings that we all witnessed, when there was a fire hose of hate and these people that didn't have the, you know, the popular opinion in the room had to run through a gauntlet of abuse, didn't really seem that concerned about it then. So, yeah, you're right, Jeff. Hypocrisy.
Well, the city council has it just in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's they have not acquitted themselves well, and this is you know, typical sort of what we've always known about liberals, you know, the bleeding heart, pro criminal, you know, sympathetic to everybody except the victims of crime. This is what this leads to, you know, and so you really got to take a hard look in the mirror as a voter and say, do I support criminals? Or do I support the victims? You know, it's really just that black and white.
Yeah. Well, and I do, before we move on to another topic, again, like I said, we'll dig more into this on Monday. I do want to specifically give some kudos to Ward 4 Counselor Deanna Gwynn, who actually held up a picture of Hedquist's victim, Nikki Thrasher, who was not there to voice her opposition, because he took her life. And she shared a very personal story of something that had happened to her, which I think was very effective. And so there were, and Ward 3, Shane Matthews had some very, very good, very, very sound comments. So there was some good stuff that happened. So all in all, again, they voted to reverse this. It was a boneheaded thing from the start. But, and I think voters need to remember this. That's all. Mm-hmm. Salem voters need to remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just reversing the vote isn't good enough.
Yeah, they should apologize to the community, too. I mean, it's a black eye. Good grief. The memes were writing themselves all over social media and everywhere. I mean, it went, like I said, I mean, every major outlet covered it. It was everywhere. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, Hunter, I did write that. You owned
it.
You owned
it. Are you taking another shot, Denise?
Yeah, I've got the bottle of Jack right here. No. Let's go ahead and take a break. And then with more Oregon, we got to talk about Governor Kotzak. Oh, good grief. So again, Jeff Reynolds is joining us today from restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty, joining us today is Jeff Reynolds from Florida. Where is it, warm or is it cold? It's really yucky over here. You remember these winters, Jeff. I mean, know what they're like.
I don't miss the winters at all.
Yeah.
I didn't see the sun for 6 months. And it was 40 degrees, felt colder than 20 degrees up on the mountain because it was so wet. I don't miss that.
Yeah.
It's about 70 degrees out here. So, it's overcast today, but it's pretty nice.
Nice. Yeah, it's just kind of blah. It's lugubrious, typical Oregon. Well, speaking of typical Oregon, I don't think anybody, I don't know if, are either of you guys surprised by this? Tina Kotek is now begging the legislature to repeal her transportation tax package rather than letting voters vote. Surprised?
Not in the least.
Surprised, no, but I saw the joint statement put out by the House Democrats and the House Republicans, and they were absolutely right to call her out. It's absolute clown hour.
Oh my gosh.
That this thing passed. She pushed it hard, and then she held the budget hostage for this $4.3 billion tax, which then set a land speed record for getting referred to the ballot to be voted on by the people who are clearly going to vote against it. The idea that she wanted to raise $4.3 billion in new taxes on a $125 billion biennial budget, where she was trying to fill a $300 million funding hole, none of it made any sense at all. It's just more, it's Democratic arrogance. We were talking off air, but I really honestly think that Oregon is the most corrupt state in the union. I've said this for a long time, because some of the crap that the Democrats do in Oregon, in other states they get prosecuted for it. In Oregon they get a job promotion.
Well, and how much of it sort of starts here? We always kind of say, you know, Oregon never gets the national, it's like always California, New York. Oregon is the petri dish, man. They try this stuff out in Oregon all the time.
Well, that's exactly right. And, yeah. Democrats, I mean, obviously vote by mail is a disaster. And, we've elected one statewide Republican since it was passed. And, the idea that, Oregon is a demonstration of everything that's wrong with the Democratic policy position, because their only reason for existing is to ratchet up the budget baseline. Every chance they get, they want to spend more money.
Yeah.
And they want to generate more and more and more taxes in order to be able to spend money. And then you end up in a situation like you see in Minnesota with the Somali daycares, where they've got so much money that they're spending, they have no idea where it's going. Some of it was mistakenly sent off to fraud, and some of it was deliberately sent off to fraud. Mm-hmm. They're paying off constituents, and that's really what their end game is. As I said, they wanted to ratchet up the spending baseline so that they can pay off more people and buy more votes. That's their entire MO.
Yeah, and that seems to be, I mean, obviously it's the case. We've all been around the block long enough in this state to know this. She's now claiming that she's going to work with Republicans, and it's like, wait, I'm old enough to remember last session. We remember that the Republicans were putting forth pretty common sense solutions to a lot of this, and she's just like, nah, and the Democrats were thumbing their nose at it. So are we really expected to believe that, you know, Lucy's not going to pull the football out from Charlie Brown again this time? I mean, do they really think Oregonians are that dumb?
Well, the simpleton in me sits there and says, okay, she doesn't want to have her name on the same ballot as this gas tax,
right,
because
right.
She knows the gas tax is going to go down in flames. She might go
Absolutely.
With it. But, you know, and I sit here and go, but you can guarantee she wins re-election. The Democrats keep the supermajority. And all of a sudden, she's going to go right back to square one and just repeat this whole thing. And then we'll have to do this ballot signatures again, yada, yada, whatever. But then I sit here and go, the tin hat wearer in me says, knowing this is going to overwhelmingly fail in the taxes, are they going to be able to come up, explain how she can win re-election while her key, you know, legislation goes down in flames overwhelmingly?
Well, my understanding is that this is still going to be on the ballot.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I just realized what the end game here is.
Okay.
Hunter, you're absolutely right that she doesn't want to be on the same ballot as her failed tax plan, right? Because that's just going to jeopardize her chances of winning re-election when she's already the most unpopular governor in America, and mm-hmm. she can't even get above 50% in approval rating in a state dominated by Democratic voters.
Right.
Her end game is this. She's going to have the state legislature repeal the bill. And then that's going to be the impetus for the attorney general to step in and say, well, it doesn't need to be on the ballot now. It's a moot point. So he's not going to allow it to be on the ballot, even though it's been approved by the Secretary of State and the signatures have been validated. And there's absolutely no reason not to have it on the ballot. That's what her end game is, so that she doesn't have to be on the ballot at the same time.
That makes sense. And then there's no recourse, no nothing that Republicans can do about it. The public outcry is going to be huge, but obviously the Democrats don't care about that.
Well, that's exactly right. But they're also playing a little bit of calculus here that enough of the public, a critical mass of the public will say, well, yeah, she's probably right. I guess it doesn't matter that it's on the ballot anymore. And then they'll just go on their merry way and continue voting the way they have voted for 30 years.
Well, that's the thing. I sit there and I look and I go, let's say that it even makes it to the ballot, but everyone is, they're going to really push, get the word out. It doesn't matter. Don't even waste your time voting on it because it's already been repealed. And now all of a sudden, you don't have that motivating factor for the average person who really could care less about anything to come out and say, I don't, you know, the one thing I care about is my tax dollars. And if that's not going to matter, why do I even bother to vote?
Well, that goes to voter apathy, Republican voter apathy in Oregon as well. You think that's going to not further demoralize the Republican base? So I'm honestly, Jeff, you were former chair of Multnomah County Republicans. What would your messaging be on this from the Republican side?
Well, the messaging would be it's just yet more failures by the Democratic Party. You can't keep voting for failure. You can't keep voting for mediocrity. You can't keep voting for people who can't legislate their way out of a paper bag. You've got so many people. It's time for a change. It's way past time that Oregon gets beyond the Republican as evil sort of mindset. It's beyond a time where Oregon voters set aside the D versus R debate and just talk about who's competent enough to do the job. Well, we haven't elected anybody competent at the state level in generations.
Except for that one Republican.
Yep.
Dennis Richardson.
Dennis Richardson, who tragically left us in the middle of his term due to cancer. Ultimate ironic ending.
Yeah. Well, we've got some statements coming out from House Republicans and messaging on that. Representative Ed Deal has come out talking about it. And again, you had, hundreds of thousands of Oregonians who got on this. And again, it was just this Herculean task to get the signatures that they needed. And then some. And to get it, there was a lot of motivation. It was bipartisan. So I don't know if the force behind that will stay stoked when what you just outlined will probably happen.
That's why they're doing it the way they're. That's why she wants this to go that way, is to undercut any momentum that was built by that referral of the gas tax. Remember, they deliberately delayed that as long as they could to make the timeline as short as possible to gather the signatures, and they still gathered them in like 3 weekends. So when you got such a stupid and unpopular policy, you can defeat it in the state of Oregon. We've seen that time and again throughout history, using the referral process, using the ballot initiative process. You can get decent policies actually passed that way, even when you can't get enough Republicans elected to the legislature to get the laws passed through that route. You can still use the ballot system to get some good stuff through, but you have to do it strategically, and it has to be the right timing and all that. And so that's why this is that they're doing everything that they can on the Democrat side to undercut any momentum we could have had on our side.
Well, and I think if what you describe, which I think is highly likely, what you've laid out as far as what the plan going forward is, you want to talk about furthering the doom spiral and the exodus out of Oregon, especially
about a few times. Yeah,
we have, and it doesn't. I don't see it abating anytime soon. I mean, with Democrats playing games like this and really kind of ticking off the people, I mean, that's going to continue.
Yeah, the headline just this morning was that unemployment remains high at over 5%, and they keep losing jobs. They aren't able to do anything, and this economic blueprint that Tina Kotek tried to put out recently, it's a joke. It's absolute clown hour, because this is somebody who has never once created a job in her life, all of a sudden saying, oh, in my second term, I'm going to do this. Well, you've had your entire life in public politics, in public life. You've had your entire adult life to do this. Why haven't you done it now, until now? And all of a sudden you have a new solution. It doesn't pass the smell test, except that, all you have to do in Oregon is say, well, those evil Republicans did this, this, and this. And, it may or may not be true, but that's all you need to get reelected.
Well, it's interesting. I'm looking at the Oregonian article, too, and there's a line, yet it's unclear how much support Kotek's plan has from lawmakers on both parties. I mean, obviously, the Republicans don't support her. I have to wonder, when push comes to shove, the Democrats may be out there raising objections and having an issue with it. But when push comes to shove, they'll back her.
Yeah, because they realize they have to, if they want to survive their own reelection. Now, it could be kind of sticky, though. I will say, for some of those closer districts, some of those Democrats may have to go and explain themselves to their constituents. Well, why did you vote for it and then vote to repeal it? That doesn't make any sense. It's almost as if you don't have a plan.
And that would be, and that's why I would encourage conservatives, Republicans, to start going to the town halls, because you're going to see town halls and campaign events. I mean, in the Salem area, what is it, Senate District, is it 11, Hunter? That's Deb Patterson?
I think so.
And I don't know, and then HD 19 is Tom Anderson. I mean, start asking these folks.
Yeah, and get it on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do what Nick Shirley did with the Somali the daycare centers in Minneapolis. Start going around with your phone camera and asking questions.
In fact,
now of course the Democrats want to make that illegal, but you know, that's still protected speech under the First Amendment.
Right, right. Hunter, what do we got, about 30 seconds
We got about 40 seconds.
40 seconds, but just real quick, yeah. Because there is a, if you're curious about socialism, this would be a good place to go. There's a forum at the library, and you can go and you can ask questions and learn about the Democrat Socialists of America, which is not affiliated with the Democrats, although they kind of do own them now, I guess.
They're loosely affiliated, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the Democrats are affiliated with the Democrats anymore. They're all Democratic Socialists.
But that would be a good, I think it's at the library, yeah, so we'll have to get some information on that. And go and ask questions there. And like you said, yeah, get it on camera.
There you go.
Absolutely get it on camera. All right. We are chatting with Jeff Reynolds today as part of our, every other week we have him on. And we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about Minnesota. When we come back, we got to talk about what's going over there. It's all over the news and it ain't good. So we're going to take that break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're joining us today is Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. Bookmark it. It's a great site. My poll question today, interestingly enough, was, do you believe the ICE agent's use of lethal force in Minnesota shooting, or in the Minneapolis shooting, was justified? Interestingly, the results on that, it was split. Mm-hmm. 50-50.
I'm not surprised.
So that's where, and that's the, what I'm seeing online and in conversations. You've got two camps on this. First of all, it's tragic that anyone lost their life, but it feels like it's been building to something like this.
Yeah, this was a matter of time before this kind of event occurred. You know, they really pushed out a few videos, like I think it was Chicago, where a woman tried to literally pull a detainee out of the backseat of the car. The officer went over, shoved her out of the way. She came back at him and he pulled his gun and held her at gunpoint. But I'm just sitting here going, they've been waiting for this to happen, and now it has.
Well, and it's deadly serious. And it seems like so many of these protesters, and we've said they're out there LARPing, live action role play, like it's, you know, Grand Theft Auto, and it's real world with real ammo and real consequences. And so the fact that this happened is horrific on every level. But I mean, all the hot takes are out there. You've got all the hot takes. I'm sure you guys have seen them.
Oh, yeah. And as I was watching things yesterday and last night, and the news broke that her significant other was outside of the car filming all of this.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm sitting here going, wait a second. So here you are, bad behavior with a photographer to catch it for you. I go, you're trying to become famous. Well, she's achieved her goal one way or another. She's now famous. Everyone in the planet knows her name. Granted, she's no longer. And I relate it to high risk activities, skydiving off of a building or, you know, riding over Niagara Falls in a barrel, going, you want to do it for the notoriety of it, but you're putting your life at the line with that behavior.
Yeah. And now her three kids don't have their mother. So
exactly.
So this is all, I mean, whether or not the officer is justified in his shooting, mm-hmm. we will find out in a court of law. And hopefully that's a fair court of law, unlike the ones that prosecuted the cops in Minnesota in 21 and 20 during the Summer of Love. Mm-hmm. But this is, as you said, it's inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason it's inevitable is because the leftist mayors and governors, Tim Walz, Jacob Frey, Brandon Johnson of Chicago, Bass, Karen Bass from LA, Keith Wilson in Portland, you know, all these people are reading from the same playbook, and they're inflaming the situation instead of being actual civic leaders calling for calm and calling for their citizens to not react. They're pouring gasoline on fire, as far as I'm concerned, and they're making it inevitable that something is going to get to boil over into violence like this. And so what we've got is, I honestly think, especially Tim Walz and Jacob Frey, those people are actually giddy that this happened. They wanted this to happen, and they've been inflaming the situation to the point where they want to see riots again. They want to see BLM 2.0. They want to see George Floyd 2.0, and they want this to turn into such a negative event and such an overwhelming event that it affects the elections in November, just like it did in 2020.
I think you're right. You can see it in the body language. Again, always watch the body language, and you can really see, especially with Frey. I mean, very performative, you know, with his F ice and all this stuff. And it's just, I don't know what can be done. I mean, they're going to keep getting voted in, I guess. But
yeah, it is all very performative, and it is very selective. There's there's double standards, two sets of standards, depending on whether or not it was a Trump supporter or a Somalian supporter that got shot. If this were a different political situation, it may not even have made the national news.
What do you mean by different?
If somebody had gotten killed protesting in favor of ICE, then it never would have made the national news. But because she was trying to block ICE enforcement of laws on the books about illegal immigrants, all of a sudden that's the reason it became national news.
And this is so dangerous, too, because you've got these people that are targeting ICE officers and PD and sheriff's departments and things like that who are, they're law enforcement. They're enforcing the laws that are on the book. You don't like the laws, change them. But to target the people that are there, that's their job to be out there and enforce the laws. And again, I wish these people would go on ride-alongs or simulations and things like that. When you're in a situation, high adrenaline, you don't know what's going on. These people have been, you know, on your case for years, actually. So you don't know what their motivation is. And you've got to make that decision, a deadly force decision, in a split second. Let's see what you would do. And my hunch is, in those simulations, there'd be a lot of dead civilians.
It's really easy to go back and break down the videos of the incident frame by frame and say, well, this is the instant where she had changed her mind and she wanted to drive off instead of running over the ICE agent. Well, he still got run over.
He did. You know,
he was still assaulted with a 4,000-pound deadly weapon.
I saw other ones where it said, well, he had plenty of time to sidestep the car and shoot out the tires.
Oh, that's like shoot the guy that's running at you with a knife in the knee. Come on.
Right. Yeah, no, that's you have no way of knowing, A, what's behind you, who else she's going to put at risk with that deadly weapon. And she's already committed a felonious assault, which is a justification for lethal force, even for civilians, never mind for law enforcement officers. So, the idea that you could break this down and say – If you slow it down to a millimeter or a millisecond,
frame by frame,
and say, yeah, exactly. They'd say, well, that's the instant right there where, well, she had changed her mind and therefore he's no longer justified. Too late. You know, it's too late at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, and the second guessing, and everyone's, you know, I'm sitting in my cozy living room with my slippers on and my, you know, with my smartphone dissecting these videos, and it's all just, it's so maddening. And it's like, we don't know. Can we wait for the facts to shake out, please?
Well, you know, and I sit here and I go, you know, a couple of these hot takes I saw were people saying, oh, well, he was leaning over the hood of the car, or what are you doing even standing in front of a car? And I'm just sitting here going, so what are you saying by him leaning over the car? He hit the car, not the car hit him?
Yeah, he assaulted the poor, innocent SUV with his body weight.
I do, real quick, there's a take on this. Lauren Chen had a tweet about it. And I, you know, again, as we're all parents, and I, as a mother, because we talked earlier about she leaves three kids behind. And so you have to wonder, what is it that gets into to individuals? And a lot of it is these progressive women that they feel like they have more of a duty to nurture and protect strangers, criminals, than their own country or their own kids. What is behind that? To think that is a wise and sane and smart thing to do, to put yourself at risk like that for people who don't know you. You have no connection to them. And again, she leaves behind three children, which is tragic.
Yeah, it's there's no sense to this.
No,
it's not like there are times when you lay your life on the line to defend something greater than yourself.
Absolutely.
A law enforcement action to enforce the laws about illegal immigration is not one of them. You're not preventing Adolf Hitler from invading the Sudetenland by doing this.
Right. And the fact that even be there and to be participating. And again, we all, you know, we talk about sort of the anatomy of a protest. The whole point of the protest is to exert power. So even though it's necessarily nice and calm and mostly peaceful during the day, they kind of tend to morph. And if you're going to put yourself in that situation, you are taking a very big risk.
Yeah, I don't even think that the point of a protest is to exert power. A point of this kind of protest is to exert panic and to get people to act irrationally in mob mentality. That's the entire point of these types of riots, is to throw rationality and legal due process out the window and have direct action. In fact, they say this. That's what they call it, direct action. It's a communist tactic to, you saw this in Mao's China, where they would have these giant crowds and drag supposed violators of the law up to the stage for public show trials and then execute them on the spot. You know, that's the kind of mentality that they are advocating. Instead of a sober examination of the facts on the ground. Nobody cares what the facts are.
No, not anymore. And again, kind of to go back to the politicians in the state that are throwing gasoline on the fire and taking people that are potentially fragile mentally and whipping them all up to where they would be participating in something like this. Is there responsibility there? Do these people, and of course I'm being silly here, they don't see it, of course. They think they are righteous and doing God's work? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say God's work.
Yeah, well, that's how they justified
yeah,
COVID,
I know. Go ahead. What, Jeff?
I was going to say that's how they justified COVID too, and all the draconian measures they took to, you know, the shutdowns and closing schools and closing businesses, completely unconstitutional, completely violated everybody's personal liberties, and they did it on purpose. And the more they did it, the more people panicked, and the more people panicked, the more they did it, and it just built on itself to the point where you had an explosion of cases of overactive amygdala in psychologists' offices, because people, and what happens when you have an overactive amygdala is that it shuts down the rational part to your brain and you're only thinking in fight or flight terms. And so this is it, once you recognize the pattern, you see it everywhere. And that's exactly what they're doing in Minneapolis, is they're trying to create a fight or flight situation for mobs to then react to the way mobs do.
Yeah, keep everybody in a state of high cortisol, high adrenaline, fight or flight. You're right.
That's right.
And again, we're hearing a lot of suicidal empathy, toxic empathy. This is sort of the end stage, end game of that. And I love him. Gad Saad, his new book is coming out, which I cannot wait, which is called Suicidal Empathy. Kind of like, you know, kindness above all else, even if it means the destruction of your country. And something like this is destructive to the very fabric of the country. And that's why I'm so...
Yeah, but it's fake kindness, too. That's what
absolutely fake kindness.
Yes. That's what makes me so mad about it. It's not even real. It's just made up, manufactured crap.
It's the theater kids again. It's all very performative, and it feels good in the moment.
The Venezuela situation is where you see the fake empathy left and right, where it's a bunch of pretentious old white people coming. I saw one rally when that one all occurred over the weekend. It was about less than two dozen people standing around these four corners, and they were all like, they emptied the nursing home to bring them out. One lady literally was sitting on her walker holding up a sign. And I'm just kind of going, where's the Venezuelan population chiming in on this? Why aren't they joining you there if this is such a big deal for Venezuela?
They're counter-protesting Grandma Betty, who doesn't know what's on their sign.
Don't they have an arts and crafts program to keep them busy? Do they have to rally them to a riot?
There's where the mass signs come from, their arts and crafts programs. Maybe we need an investigation there. Where's Nick Shirley there when we need him?
Oh, all right. Well, let's. We got to take our last break, and maybe we can touch on, because Venezuela was still hot in the news and everything going on, and it kind of got overrun again. Show prep is always fun. It's like by the hour, I've got here one more thing. So again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
I could use some cozies today. It's a cozies kind of day. A little gabagool would do the soul good. We're wrapping up our conversation today with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. And if I haven't already said it, did I bookmark it? It's good. Okay, so Venezuela. We were talking about Venezuela and what's happening over there. And Jeff, in the break, we were talking, really, there's a lot of moving pieces to this. It's very complicated. This actually does feel like 4D chess to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm finishing up an article I've been working on all week on all of the different moving parts. So it'll be tomorrow or Monday this will be published. But the left has come out and accused him of it's illegal. He kidnapped the head of state of a sovereign nation, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But first of all, he was under indictment for running one of the largest narco-terrorist criminal organizations in the world. Joe Biden himself put a $25 million bounty on his head. So I cannot wait to see Joe Biden hand Donald Trump that check.
Like a big, giant Publisher's Clearinghouse check.
That's right. Yep. I think that was actually a Babylon Bee earlier this week. But there are so many really intricate pieces to this. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's the reestablishment of the Monroe Doctrine, which in summary is the idea that the Western Hemisphere should not be under the sway of any foreign governments or foreign powers, and it should be the domain of the United States to administer to the point, not to get deeply involved in everybody's politics, but to say, the Western Hemisphere is to serve the interests of the United States and the interests of liberty and the interests of every country's people. So that means at the time, when James Monroe established this doctrine, it was to resist incursions by Portugal and Spain and France and England and the Netherlands and all the other colonial powers that were attempting to reestablish their influence over various Western Hemisphere, you know, North American and South American territories. So it has evolved over the years. I think the most famous and consequential example of the Monroe Doctrine was the Cuban Missile Crisis, where the Russians were putting nuclear missiles in Cuba, 92 miles off of the American coast, an obvious threat that we could not stand. And so even though Cuba was a communist nation and an ally of Russia, we had every right to defend ourselves in that situation. So that's an example of that. So when we reestablished this by arresting Nicolas Maduro, who, by the way, isn't Venezuelan, he's Colombian.
No.
He stole the election, right? He was losing in the, I think it was 22 election. With 80% in, 67% of the folks had voted against him. So he shut down the count and declared himself the winner. So he's not even the legitimate leader of this sovereign nation that has a vast amount of natural resources at its core. Now, the left says that this is all about oil, and it is. They are right, but for the wrong reason. This is not just about seizing oil or, you know, blood for oil like they used to scream in Iraq. This is much more about regional hegemony. And the idea, well, first of all, Venezuelan oil has kept Cuba afloat for generations. Cuba, under sanctions, is unable to run its economy except that it gets a lifeline with regular shipments of oil from Venezuela. If that were to stop, then Cuba will cease to exist. And you've seen Donald Trump several times this week actually say that. Cuba is about to fall. Cuba's communist dictatorship is about to fall because they can no longer keep their economy going, which was the original intent of the sanctions in the 60s after the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? Yeah. Or the communist overthrow by Fidel Castro. So it's been in our interest for decades to end the dictatorship in Cuba, and we finally might be on the verge of doing that. And there are so many other things, but the idea, we were acting on an active arrest warrant for Nicolas Maduro. And there are so many other effects that are going to be felt, and so many other dominoes that are going to fall because of that.
So it sounds like you've really fleshed that out in this article that's coming up, which I think is great. So we'll be on the lookout for that, and we'll share it as well. And then just the personal side of it, like we said, I know we're just about out of time, but the left thinking that it's bad what we did, and then of course people from Venezuela saying, no, this is wonderful and we're celebrating. It's just like two different universes.
Yeah, you got all those white liberals that have never had a job that are protesting in the streets of Portland and New York City saying that to free Nicolas Maduro. We've seen all those signs. And the Venezuelans are celebrating and putting a statue up to Donald Trump.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Jeff, we're out of time. It always goes by way too fast. Have a great weekend, my friend, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. All right, everybody, have a great day. We will see you next week. That's it for us.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.